The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC here on ESPN Plus. I'm Dan Thomas. Coming up later on in the show, Gab Marcotti will be here to react to Juventus' impressive 3-0 victory to start off the defence of their campaign. Weston McKennie starting and starring in that side. A great shift from the US international. Meanwhile, Ali will be here as well to find something, I don't know what, to talk about Real Madrid's 0-0 draw against Real Sociedad. We start, though, in the Premier League at Stamford Bridge, where it finished Liverpool 2, Chelsea 0. Stevie wearing a tie, so excited about this victory for Liverpool. Frank and Craig with us as well. Craig, that sending off for Christensen, you feel, just kind of changed everything?
Yeah, I mean, it was totally over as a contest and a spectacle, wasn't it? It was just a parade in the second half. But in saying that, you know, sometimes it is difficult to break teams down when they're defending like Chelsea were, but what a brilliant, incisive goal from Liverpool to open it up. And after that, there was a keeper mistake. And it was all over. So, yeah, it hinged on the sending off, but look, Liverpool on the better side. They controlled the game, but whilst Chelsea had 11 players, there was always the danger of particularly Timo Werner over the top.
Yeah, there weren't a lot of chances in the first half, but it was still quite interesting, Frank, considering the way the two teams set up. Liverpool, of course, with that high line, you always felt that Werner had the chance, but then Christensen gets sent off, and as Craig said, then it was just one-way traffic.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it killed the suspense, you know, as soon as Christensen was sent off. But as he said, too, you know, I think Liverpool showed that they were a better side right now because we have so many people injured, you know, in the stand for Chelsea that it's impossible to compete against the former or the champion of the Premier League. So that's a fair result. Even if Kepa made a mistake, even if on the other side, the goalkeeper, Alisson, kept a penalty. I don't know how you say that, stopped the penalty, sorry. And that's it. But the football that they showed was better than Chelsea. And there are many things to say about Chelsea. But can we make a statement when almost every line, so many important players were missing?
Stevie, from a Liverpool perspective, what was your big takeaway from the game?
Well, obviously, a new partnership at centre-back. I know Gomez was injured, but there's a fair old chance that he might not have started in this game anyway, Fabinho and Van Dijk together. I still think they were a little high. At the same time, Fabinho did well on two occasions when he was one-on-one defending against Werner in the edge of the box and fending him off. But that was kind of a little worrying that if that continued, then maybe Werner was going to get the better of him. But you know, at 2-0, I think the Alisson save is quite important because I've been in a Liverpool side that have been two goals ahead, playing against 10 men, and we ended up drawing the game, and that was at home against Manchester United. So, you know, things are never done until they're done, but that penalty save, as soon as Alisson saved that, I was comfortable and I thought the game is definitely over. Great first goal, Kepa doing what Kepa does best. And so Liverpool leave London with 3 points and more than happy.
Why did Frank start him, Craig?
Because Willie Caballero's the number two goalkeeper. I mean, it's as simple as that. And he has been for quite a while now. And look, Chelsea have only themselves to blame here for the sending off because Alisson rolled the ball out and it was and as good a ball as it was from Henderson, it was a lob ball straight through the middle. Now, Manny makes a great out-to-end run, but, you know, what happened to blocking people or giving yourself a bit of depth? So they didn't do that, and they paid the penalty. So, I mean, it came straight through the middle and the heart of the defence again. It's not been organised when you're on the attack and Liverpool win it back. And it's just lack of game understanding. So all of a sudden, you've got one of the quickest players in the Premier League running in behind. Christensen's in a bad position. Chelsea are wide open. And, you know, clearly, he pulled him back. It was a sending off. I'm actually at the stage now. I feel sorry for the goalkeeper. I really do, and I don't feel sorry for him because he's getting paid a lot of money, and he's a big guy, and he's a man, and he should be taking it on. I just feel sorry for him because it's crystal clear that he's not wanted. It's also crystal clear he's having a bad time. He's lost all his confidence, right? And when that happens to a player, it's tough. We've seen it. We've all seen it with players, good players, really good players who have a bad time. And so it seems like he's making a mistake and people are waiting for him to make a mistake, including his teammates and manager, every game. So in some sense, yeah, Lampard will have another decision to make if Mendy's not brought in, and let's talk about that. But I'm actually at the stage now, I just feel it's a guy that's having a really, really bad time. He's not trying to make mistakes, but clearly he is. And it's glaring in the public eye as it can be.
Frank?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's maybe the first mistake from Frank is to keep on putting Kepa in goal, where, as Craig said, you know, the guy lost his confidence completely. And I think Caballero should play, because the guy is in a big tension, you know, big pressure. It reminds me of Fernando Torres, but the problem is when you're a goalkeeper, you make a mistake, you're going to concede a goal. When you're a striker and you miss a chance, we say, oh, he missed a chance, maybe we give him another chance. Oh, he missed another chance, and he keeps on going like that for almost years for Fernando Torres. But Kepa makes one mistake, makes a second one. We think about replacing him with a new goalkeeper, and we put the substitute, Caballero, and now he's completely lost. So we say, okay, well, the guy is really bad. We're going to sell him. I don't know how much we're going to sell him, but he's still still on playing right now, but he cannot play because his head is in another planet. He doesn't feel football. He doesn't even live football. He's just wondering if he's still a goalkeeper. So he shouldn't play. He should get back to a shrink to see if he has the confidence.
Frank, you see more of French football than us. Is Mendy the answer? I mean, is he good enough to come in?
Comparing to what we see from Kepa, and as TV said, you know, Kepa is doing the best. Mistakes, yes, Mendy is far much better than that. He had a very good season in Rennes, signed for Rennes, and a very good season with Rennes. So I am very confident that he can do the job, and much better than Kepa, and even much better than Caballero. So I don't know if there is another goalkeeper that Chelsea could find. But for that amount of money, yeah, it's kind of a bargain to have Mendy. He's a tall goalkeeper, very agile, and I'm sure he's going to do the job. But Kepa cannot do the job anymore. It's over.
One of the other interesting things, Dan, was the deployment of Kai Havertz today, mm-hmm. which was slightly different from the opening match at Brighton, where he was wide and ineffective. I mean, I'm sure the lad's chasing his fitness and he's finding his feet in the surroundings, but he found himself whilst he was on the field in a more central role with Werner at times playing a lot off the left, with Mason Mount moved on to the right, but again he was underwhelming, I would say, at the moment. Not questioning his talent, but I think for the first two games he's certainly a player that, you know, when Pulisic and Ziyech is fit, at the moment he's going to be the one, I think, coming under threat because of his first two performances.
Stevie, how would you sum up the two new boys for Chelsea today?
Oh, 100%. I agree with Craig. I think I feel a little bit bad for him because at the end of the day, if you're a forward, then you're relying on your midfield and particularly getting you the ball. And that just wasn't happening when they had 11 men, and it certainly was never going to happen with 10. So, you know, in some ways, some of the responsibility is his, but in a lot of ways, in the midfield of Chelsea just is not getting the forwards the ball as often as they should. So, consequently, somebody like Havertz is going to be absolutely ineffectual.
And sorry, Dan, that's the difference between the two players, Werner and Havertz. I mean, clearly Havertz is, you know, hasn't got the experience of Werner. Werner's not exactly ancient, I think, at 24, but he's way more experienced. But he's going to, when Chelsea are poor, like they were at times, then he's going to, as Stevie said, it's going to make him look worse because Werner's a busier player. He goes, he chases after things and makes things happen. He makes runs. He goes and gets involved. Havertz is not quite that kind of player, or certainly hasn't been in his very, very short time at Chelsea. He's almost reliant, as Stevie touched on there, in getting the support around him and getting the ball to him, and then maybe he can produce a bit of magic, where Werner, you know, almost with his busyness, goes and makes things happen. So in that essence himself, looks as if he's having a better game because he is so lively. But it's early days. It's just we've seen so much of these players in Germany producing some really good stuff, and Chelsea are going to be under pressure. Lampard's going to be under pressure with all these signings that I think we were expecting, certainly from Havertz, even early on, just some glimpses of that magic we knew from Leverkusen, and we really haven't seen it up to this point.
You kind of wonder as well, Dan. Frank, in the back of Frank's head, he's got to be thinking, listen, when Pulisic's fit, who sits? Because I think you've got to play Pulisic. And it would seem to me that clearly so far it's going to be Havertz. You know, Mason Mount does a lot of other work defensively that the other two can't do. And Werner's going to be playing. And as I said, when Pulisic's fit, he's going to be starting. He has to. So Havertz himself, and Frank must be thinking already, what's going to happen when Pulisic's fit? I think that's what's going to happen. Havertz is going to be sitting in his backside.
Liverpool, they're making
it. Yeah, but Stevie, there will be another problem. Sorry. Sorry, Dan. There will be another problem. Because if you put Werner and you want to put Pulisic, you're going to put Ziyech on the other side. You will have to reinforce the midfielders and make sure that Kante will be with other good midfield defenders, where Jorginho and Kovacic are not. The players, they know how to play football, but they don't know how to defend. And that's going to be a problem. And Chelsea have that problem. Okay, they signed Thiago Silva. It's going to be better defensively. Chilwell is a good attacking fullback. But I'm still worried about Chelsea when they don't have the ball. When they have the ball, they will have talents and no problem. When they don't have the ball, they're not a block. They're not very strong. And I'm wondering if they can handle. Remember last year how many goals they conceded? That was awful.
Liverpool then making it back-to-back victories. Yeah, to
take
kick
a
off
breath,
the defense
Dan, just in case.
Campaign.
Take your time, Dan.
Meanwhile, Spurs registered their first win of the season, bouncing back from that disappointing defeat against Everton to thrash Southampton by 5-2. Son with 4, Kane with 4 assists and a goal. Who was the man of the match, Stevie?
I don't know what to answer your question or question what you just said. Listen. You score 4 goals in a game, then Son, or whoever it was, is going to get man of the match. But you said thrash Southampton. I'm not being funny. You can't say that. If you actually watch this game, if you look at the scoreline, 5 goals away from home, wow, they must have been fantastic. I'll tell you what, this could have been 5-5. You know, Southampton, as bad defensively as they were, and as good as Son and Kane were, had they been better, or had they had a little bit more luck going forward, and had Reece not made a couple of good saves, this could have been a draw. So 5-2, I think, flatters Tottenham. Yes, they were eventually, because they're overdue to score goals. You know, you can't have that much talent and not score goals. So today was one of those days that they haven't had that many of recently. But as a game, as a whole spectacle, I'll tell you, there weren't that much in these two sides.
Do you agree, Frank?
I completely agree. I think, especially the first half, you know, and you were talking about the man of the match, you can even consider Hugo Lloris as man of the match, especially the first half, where he saved like 3-4 times Tottenham. But it's true that Kane and Son did something fantastic. I think Kevin De Bruyne would have been very jealous of Harry Kane on some assists that he made today. But it wasn't a perfect Tottenham. It wasn't a Tottenham who dominated the game, you know, atrociously. I don't agree with that. I think it wasn't an easy win. It was a clever one, let's say, a very practical one, but not an easy one.
Craig?
But they just had to get a win, didn't they? Because they were pretty woeful against Everton, and so they just had to get a win away from home. It really wouldn't be worth my while going over everything the boys said, because it was clearly obvious. And Look, if Che Adams and one or two others had been more clinical in front of goal, the story might have been different. However, it's not Tottenham's fault that Southampton made their pitch for the worst defending of 2020 award because it was absolutely horrendous. And I mean horrendous. So Tottenham took advantage of that. I mean, Son was running into space. Harry Kane didn't even have to look on a couple of occasions. He knew he could reverse a pass and there was acres of space to run into. So that's Tottenham are nowhere near the finished article. We know that. But all Mourinho needed was a win. And what he got was a perfect plate handed to him with awful, awful defending.
Dan, if I can add something about that, we talked last week, and I think Stevie mentioned that, and I said too, about the body language of Son and Kane last week, where we were wondering if they wanted to stay at Spurs under Mourinho's coaching. Well, we have the answer today, where, you know, they did what they had to do. They worked hard, and they had the result that they were expecting. So I don't know if it's because of the signing of Bale that everybody is moving a little bit more. I don't know if the competition is getting a little bit stronger, and it's maybe why Kane and Son are doing their best. But the result is there. We found back the two big players that they are.
Good stuff, boys. Just a reminder of what else happened in the Premier League today. Leicester City with a 4-2 victory over Burnley. And the other game we saw, Brighton, very comfortable victory away against Newcastle.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Juventus kicked off the defence of their title in some style today. 3-0 win over Sampdoria. It was pretty much perfect. Kulusevski on his debut opening the scoring. Bonucci and Ronaldo then scoring late on. Gab Marcotti with us. Gab, this is pretty much the perfect start for Pirlo.
It was a very good start. And obviously, the team under strength because there's players missing. So much curiosity to see what would he do, you know, and he gave us a whole script because, of course, his thesis came out last week where he detailed in extreme detail, I might add, his vision of football, what he wants from his players. And so we were curious to see what would he do on the pitch. And, we saw a 3-4-2-1 formation, which helped get the best out of Ramsey and Kulusevski alongside Cristiano Ronaldo in the front three. But they were 3-4-2-1 going forward. And they became 4-4-2 defensively, which was fun to watch. It didn't always work in some of their movements, but in the end, I think a comprehensive victory and a tremendous performance as well from Weston McKennie. He started out in the middle, also played at wing back later on, praised by everybody for his tactical intelligence, and obviously a lot of work rate and a lot of intensity to go with it as well. Yeah. Nearly scored too.
Yeah, nearly scored as well. Life's good for Juve, Gab. That's it. Done. Give him the title now.
Yeah, I wouldn't quite go that far. Obviously, they do have injured guys to come back. We'll see where Paulo Dybala, arguably the man who carried them to the title after the restart, where he fits into this formation. Obviously, they're still looking at a center forward. Looks like it's going to be a Dzeko and not Luis Suarez, but that's still up in the air. So we still need to see how these pieces fit together. And also, I mean, by the standards of what we've been used to from Juve in the last 2 years, this is a very attacking formation and a formation that, sometimes defensively will concede opportunities on the break if some of the movements aren't perfectly calibrated. So we'll see how Andrea Pirlo goes and deals with that as we go forward.
Gab, just going back to Weston McKennie, is that him guaranteed now placing the starting 11 going forward?
I don't know that too many players not named Cristiano have a guaranteed place on this Juve team, but I think he hit the ground running. And I think from Pirlo's perspective, you know, last season they were probably lacking somebody with his energy and his intensity in the middle of the park. I think we could see him, again, possibly used as worst case scenario, you see him as a utility player popping up, a wing back popping up in the middle. But I think he will get substantial amount of minutes for Juve, even if he's not a week-in, week-out starter. I mean, look, this is Pirlo. The guy's managed one game at Juve. We really have no idea where this is going.
Now, I was watching this and thinking, right, where does Luis Suarez fit into this? Because obviously he took his test to get the citizenship, which meant he could make this move. But as it stands, he's still at Barcelona, yeah?
Yeah, so he took the test so he could get to become a new player, which makes him much easier for him to go and sign for any club that he wants to. He didn't have that issue in Spain because Spain has different rules, and his wife is an Italian citizen, so that was enough there. But Fabio Baratici coming out addressing this, saying that there's not enough time to go and do the deal for Luis Suarez. Everybody's suggesting it's going to be Edin Dzeko coming over from Roma, with Arkadiusz Milik moving to Roma to replace him. So it looks like Suarez is going to be out there. I don't expect to see him back at Barcelona. We still have a few weeks. But anybody who needs a striker who, lest we forget, scored a ton of goals last season, probably could do worse than to look him up, because he is out there and he is on the market and he has that EU passport, or he will have that EU passport very shortly, that he needs.
A number of other matches today in Italy as well. Let's just take you through the results of that. Napoli kicking off their campaign with a 2-0 victory away against Parma. Genoa with a 4-1 victory over Crotone, and Sassuolo and Cagliari playing out a 1-1 draw. Meanwhile, today saw the first game of Real Madrid's defence of their title. They could only manage a 0-0 draw away against Real Sociedad, as we welcome in Ali Moreno to the show. Oh, Ali. You got the short straw watching this one.
And I watched it from the first minute to the 90th minute. Yes, that shows my discipline and commitment to this show and to you personally, Dan Thomas.
I appreciate it.
The truth is, this is what I bring, discipline and commitment. The truth is that at Real Madrid, you may have thought, okay, well, you have the dynamic players on the outside. You have a lot of young legs out there, Rodrigo and Vinicius. Vinicius down the left, Rodrigo down the right, and then Martin Odegaard, who incidentally was playing for Real Sociedad last year on loan. He's now back in Real Madrid. He's playing underneath Karim Benzema. And you may have thought that all the tools were there for some excitement for Real Madrid. And not quite the case. You have, yes, a lot of young legs and a lot of energy on the outside, but it almost feels like once they get into the final third, that neither Rodrigo nor Vinicius have a lot of final product in them. They get there, they're in good positions. It's time to deliver a cross? Not quite. It's time to take somebody one-on-one situation? Not quite. And so what ends up happening is that Karim Benzema gets frustrated, and his natural instinct is to go look for the ball. So sometimes he drops underneath. Sometimes he goes into wide areas. And that's fine that he does that, because he's looking for the ball. He's looking for spaces, as long as you have somebody else that is going to occupy the space down the middle. Well, that's not happening. Karim Benzema gets out wide, gets underneath, and neither Rodrigo nor Vinicius nor Odegaard nor anybody come from the midfield is occupying that central area. And so, therefore, whatever cross Benzema provides, he's providing to no one. And so, therefore, while Real Madrid was having possession of the ball, while they were controlling the game, they were not creating a whole lot. In fact, the most dangerous opportunity in this game fell to Real Sociedad, and it was Thibaut Courtois that had to come up with a save on Isak in the first half. And that was about it. Other than that, not much else for neither Real Sociedad nor Real Madrid. On a side note, it is really weird to see David Silva somewhere else other than Manchester City. He came on as a sub for Real Sociedad, and you're thinking to yourself, where's De Bruyne? Where is Phil Foden? Where is Bernardo Silva? Where's everybody else? He just seems like... there he is. He's at Real Sociedad. New life for him. It didn't quite work out today for neither Sociedad nor Real Madrid, though Real Sociedad will take the point.
As Ali mentioned, Gab, and this is nothing new, really. Even when they put that great run together in the last season, it was kind of all about either Sergio Ramos scoring a penalty or Benzema carrying this team. And obviously, when those two don't feature, they do struggle to get goals. How much of a problem could this be going forward?
I mean, I think we have to mention the players who weren't there. And this is something that they reiterated after the game. Obviously, it's a different story if you have Hazard and Isco and Asensio involved from the start. You know, you play differently. In some games, Vinicius and Rodrigo are probably the right recipe. In other games, you want those other guys. We should also mention, I think, that Real Sociedad played very well. They did set up to defend and to hit on the counter. I think Ali photographed it perfectly about, you know, when Benzema moves around, somebody's got to fill that space. I think he was hoping that Odegaard would do that. That's why he dropped Casemiro. But Odegaard, as we said, didn't do that. Modric and Kroos probably don't have the legs to make those runs in the box, to arrive in the box, as they say in Spain. And I think that's why Real Madrid created less than we'd expected. But, I mean, I think it's probably going to be, you know, a good month to 8 weeks before we see the real Real Madrid.
Ali, would you like to add anything, or shall I just go to promo?
You can go to promo if you want to. There's not much to add.
Forgettable game. Meanwhile, in the Premier League, Manchester City start their campaign tomorrow away against Wolves. Should be a cracker. We'll, of course, be discussing that at length on the next show.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
PSG recorded their second win of the season, a 3-0 victory over Nice. Kylian Mbappe's back starting and on the score sheet. He opened the scoring with a penalty. Angel Di Maria and Marquinhos getting the other two goals. Frank Leboeuf with us. Frank, how would you describe this win?
Well, an easy one, and especially because Mbappe is back. It's absolutely fantastic how that young guy can change the rhythm and the tempo of the Paris Saint-Germain. Everybody thinks that the leadership will be given to Neymar, but when Neymar is not there and Mbappe is showing himself, you know, he's the guy is absolutely fantastic. And he got a penalty. Well, even if it wasn't a penalty for me, but whatever, he scored it. And then had another chance to score, but Di Maria finished it. It changed everything. I mean, that's how I will resume that game for Paris Saint-Germain. An easy win, the first one, because of Mbappe.
It's difficult to ask you really too much more about this game, Frank, because as you say, it was really just a simple, straightforward, professional victory for PSG. So I'll shift slightly to the rumours that have been doing the rounds in England about Dele Alli possibly going out on loan to PSG. Now, we were speaking before and you were saying, well, the French papers haven't really said anything. They've just used the English sources. Does this move make sense to you at all?
I have question marks about Dele Alli performances lately. If you're not in the first 11 and top and with the leadership with Tottenham, what can you expect coming to Paris Saint-Germain when you have Neymar, Mbappe, almost in your situation, in your position? So Dele Alli, it's maybe for the future a good thing, but Dele Alli will have to show more to convince me that it will be a plus to Paris Saint-Germain. As you said, it's only the Telegraph and the Daily Mail reporting that Dele Alli will be interesting, or maybe the PSG will be interesting, and Leonardo himself will be interesting about Dele Alli coming there. But I guess it will be for loan first to see if Dele Alli can cope with the situation, and maybe if they decide him to come, they will buy him. But it's something that I don't see coming. But if it comes, I think it would be the only way for the Paris Saint-Germain to get him. It's with a loan.
You take a look at the table, as I say, thank you very much, Frank. St Etienne dropped their first points of the season. They still remain top of the table alongside Rennes with 10 points apiece.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to Gav and to Ali. For more from Frank, Craig and Stevie and his weird tie, be sure to stay tuned for Extra Time. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Craig with us, as is Frank. And Stevie, why are you wearing a tie? What's going on?
Because it's Sunday.
Right.
That's why.
You've never worn a tie on a Sunday before.
It's church time.
That's not true.
Last Sunday, you didn't wear a tie when you were on.
It's because the US tie, by because the US opens on.
Oh, is that it?
From Wingfoot.
Yeah.
Well, that would be a good reason, but it's not the one.
And the author of your autobiography, Stevie, was angry that you don't have that book in the background for his royalties.
Yeah, big daughter. So they sent me a message this morning and said, I can't believe you don't have your book in the shelf in the back. Every time you're on FC, you should put it on. Like, yeah, right.
Just so he can eat another bag of chips.
Yeah.
Frank, do you still believe Chelsea will finish ahead of Liverpool this season?
I was sure somebody would ask me that question. Every time Chelsea is going to lose, yes, especially against Liverpool, somebody's going to ask me the question.
Yep.
It's too early to make a statement. We don't know what's going to happen. Of course, it's a tough bet that I made, but I keep on thinking that it's possible. So until maybe January, stop asking me the question because I will still believe it's possible.
Okay. We're going to ask you every week, you know. Oh, that.
You could answer it right now.
No, sure, I'm sure.
No, they won't.
No.
It's not possible.
another terrible performance from Firmino. He couldn't even score. Is it time for him to go? Sorry, Dan, couldn't help myself. Quite a nice assist that he had today, wasn't it? Very good. Yeah, right. Next.
Who sent that?
It was tongue-in-cheek, Stevie, having a go at me when I remember last week, Raul Jimenez, I said you could bring in a header for Mina. You shouted at me, said I knew nothing
about
football.
Yes, I remember
it
well.
You know, punter alert.
Dan the punter raised his head again.
Exactly. There we go. Stevie, how good was Thiago for Liverpool today in just a 45-minute appearance?
Oh, I don't know whether you noticed, but he gave a penalty away.
Yeah,
I don't think that was in the plans.
No. Nope.
Listen, it was an ideal time for him to come on, stroke the ball around. He tried to play some balls into the penalty box. Pretty much was sauntering around because that's just how easy it was. He was a little unlucky with the penalty, I must admit. I mean, he somehow got his leg tangled up. That gave the penalty away, which he shouldn't have. But yeah, I think we need to see him in the heat of battle when it's not really a one-sided affair. I would like to see him a lot more in a ding-dong Premier League encounter with a City, let's say.
The heat of the battle. How is the performance of VAR so far, Craig? Thoughts of referees going to the monitor? It takes them a long time. I don't know why they faff so much. Just get over there.
What? Oh, I was just watching someone ran by my window and I was seeing what it was.
What was it?
I don't know.
Is it Donaldson? Donaldson looking for food.
Is Donaldson dropping off a book? He's dropping off a book at every house in the neighbourhood.
That must be.
VAR. Well, obviously, Mike Riley, the head of the PGMOL or whatever it is you call it, is obviously at least taking on board the fact that most of us just hammered him last year for the referees not going to the monitor. So at least that's at least that's something. And so, unless I've missed anything, it seems to be pretty much okay at the moment. I don't. Maybe it's taking a little bit too long for some people. I don't know, but I haven't. There's nothing glaring that I know of at the moment.
Craig, you weren't with us yesterday after United's defeat against Palace. Will Solskjaer be found out this season? He's never really been at United when they were having a bad time.
Yeah, he has. After they gave him the job, he had a horrendous time.
Mm-hmm.
When they gave him the job full time. And, you know, look, it was one game. It was one game. They were awful. But the pressure's on. I mean, Ed Woodward's not helping anybody by the slowness of his and the club's transfer policy in terms of getting deals done. That's not helping. But listen, you know, I think we can throw Frank Lampard into the same pot, really, is that they're two managers managing big clubs who are going to be under pressure. And yeah, he's going to be under immense pressure this year. I'm not going to change my opinion on it. I think they're going to have to get a proper quality coach in if they're going to challenge Liverpool and City, because that's exactly what they have. Top quality managers.
Stevie, which team is more likely to break into the top six? Everton or Spurs?
I thought Spurs were in the top six last year. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yes, listen, they finished sixth.
Let's just see Everton having a very promising start. Everything that they've done has kind of gone against what Everton have been doing for the last 25 years.
Who will finish higher, Steve?
They seem to be going and... Sorry?
Who will finish higher?
Tottenham.
Yeah, Tottenham.
Tottenham?
Experience, yeah. It's only... You know, I was waxing away about how they've looked in the two games, but listen, at the end of the day, it's two games. And I don't know whether Hammers has got a full Premier League season in him. Alan's been out for quite a while over the last couple of seasons with injury, so we don't know if he's going to last. The Corey obviously is a great signing, but it's probably too early, so I'm going to say it'll be Spurs, just because they know how to get there, even though they may have the struggles.
So the less time, here's the deal for the people clicking on this video. The less time you wax on, the less time we all have to look at that tie.
Oh, hold on a minute. Is the golf on by any chance?
Final question, Stevie.
Come on, Dad. Keep the questions coming.
Steve, what's going on with all these 6-plus goal games? Is the fence overall on decline? What's going on?
It's been on decline for years. What are you talking about? Oh, my goodness. You're not a proper fullback now unless you're standing past the halfway line at all times. And when balls come in flying into the far post, well, it's not your job. You can't be expected to be all past the halfway line and be back there as well. It's somebody else's fault. Absolutely, yeah. No. The basics of defending are absolutely disappearing. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, well done, Mr. Stevie.
Certainly. Yeah. Listen, the fullback in my team, if the ball was crossed on his side, in his mind, it was his fault for letting the cross come in. Now, it doesn't matter anymore whether you let the cross come in or not. And in fact, if you block the cross, it's oh, fantastic. I mean, it's like, oh, you're so wonderful. I mean, that's your basic, one of the basic jobs. So, absolutely, 100%. Defending.
Well, it's not only the fullbacks.
Way down the toilet.
It's not only the fullbacks. It's not only the fullbacks, it's also the centre halves, you know. I said that during the pre-season, that the main concern for every club is to find a good centre half, because all the teams who had a good centre half won something this year. Liverpool, they won the Premier League because they had a centre half. Van Dijk, Gomez. Real Madrid, they won the Liga because they had Ramos. Bayern Munich, they won because Alaba, Pavard, a little bit Boateng, they had quality as centre half. The others, everybody struggled, Chelsea, Manchester City, Barcelona, they struggled because they had no centre half. Most of the time, no people who are poor defensively.
That's it. We're done. Thank you very much for all your tweets. We'll be back here tomorrow talking about Manchester City's first game of the season.